Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. It's fabulous here in the Carolinas. All the rain passed by and it was sunny today, kind of lifted everybody's mood. So just gorgeous weather. It's 73. Awesome stuff. All right, we're gonna empower you. That's what we like to do here on the show. And Magical Engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. And thanks for joining us on Herb Talk on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about do vitamins offer a cancer risk? That's been in the news lately, so we're going to check that out. Also, we're going to talk about our liver today and maybe our digestion, learn how to drive that like a Ferrari, you know, get that digestion really, you know, revved up and going. So we got lots to do, and a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi, or righteous men and women in uniform. I lift them up in prayer. I lift America up in prayer. I lift you and me up in prayer. I'm praying for righteousness, and I know some people are saying, you know, I think it's, you know, that time has passed, that America is, for whatever reason, isn't going to be like she was. Well, that's if God says so. So, you know, I am of the ilk that, you know, I'm going to seek the Lord's face. I'm going to hit the knees. And I'm going to ask for justice and truth, like Isaiah 59 says. And I'm going to ask for righteous men of valor, of knowledge and understanding in the way of the Lord to, you know, set the course for this nation, to get it back on track. And if it's God's will, it'll be done. And if it's not, it's not. But we still have to ask. God wants us to ask. So mind the time. It grows short. And by the way, coming up on, the 30th through the 6th, the whole nation of Australia is praying for America. They're fasting and praying that whole week. I plan on joining in on the fasting and praying. Hope you will, too. We're Americans. Why wouldn't we? It's for our betterment as a Christian nation, right? And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Alrighty, what do we got in the quacker? Let's see. Breast cancer cases, according to some new research on the United States, projected to rise, according to this research. New breast cancer cases in the United States are forecasted to go up as much as 50% by the year 2030, according to this new government research. Although some breast cancers overall are decreasing, there's different subtypes, they say, of cancer, breast cancer. And so those two subtypes, they say, are moving in two different trajectories. So they estimate that the total number of new breast cancer cases would increase from about 283,000 in 2011, that's what we had, to an estimated 441,000 by 2030. So proportion of invasive estrogen receptor positive cancers, they expect to hold steady at about 63%. The estrogen receptor negative cancers, they expect to drop between 17 to 9%. So the researchers didn't know the reasons behind the projected decline. But they did have some intriguing clues to report. They said women who first gave birth at a young age and did not breastfeed are at a higher risk of the early onset of the subtype, whereas more women today are delaying childbearing, and then they do opt to breastfeed, which may explain, they say, the drop in those cases. Now, the researchers also predicted that the age distribution of women with new breast cancers would change by 2010, that percentage of new cases occurred in women 70 to 84. They expect to increase that to 24 to 35%. Then the women in the age groups of 50 to 69, they expect that to fall from 55 to 44%. So oncologists trying to be proactive with their roadmap. That's not proactive. You know what proactive to me means? Means, you know, cancer prevention, fruits and vegetables, and dandelion root, and organ cleansing, get rid of toxins. That's what I call prevention. All right, moving along in the quack report here. Last but not least, agricultural antibiotic use is predicted to go up by 67%. This is a newly released study that was conducted by Princeton University. They say, according to their report, within the next 15 years, the use of antibiotics in animal husbandry is expected to skyrocket all over the globe by 67%. They say many of the developing countries are injecting their livestock with a bunch of antibiotics. They think it's dangerous. It will increase the risk of developing more drug-resistant superbugs. So the four main countries, they say, is responsible for this estimated increase, according to the study, are China, Brazil, India, and Russia. So dangerous ramifications, they say, when you increase the use of antibiotics in animals, it creates a scenario where common infections can turn quickly fatal, no longer responsive to drugs. So more people consume meat and milk and eggs. And also in these developing and middle-income countries, they're consuming more of those food groups, and they rely on antibiotics to prevent and treat disease in the animal husbandry areas. So Tim Robinson, he's the scientist at the International Livestock Research Institute, he said that continuous use of these low-dose antibiotics on livestock makes for the perfect condition to grow resistant bacteria. Things like E. coli and Salmonella are already showing resistance to antibiotics, and there's a lot of fear that those currently are treatable but later may not be treatable in humans. So these diseases can be easily passed from animals to people, from food contamination, even direct contact. So researchers are conducting an extensive assessment of antibiotic use in these areas around the world, and the report is in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So the antibiotic use in livestock they tested was in 228 countries. Now, he says in the United States, antibiotic consumption in animals accounts for 80% of the antibiotics sold. It's incredible. And he also goes on to say that chicken and pigs are easier to raise in less time, and there's very little space needed to raise those, whereas cattle, much more challenging, therefore more antibiotic use is used there. But he also sees that the increase in chicken and pork sales, not cattle, will also increase the demand for antibiotic use in those areas. So got to be praying for that. I mean, you just put the pigs and the cows and the chickens outside. They're not confined. There's less bacteria. There's less need for antibiotics, but nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. They just want to haul in the feed, not even the hay. The hay is too expensive to haul in and feed to the animals, so they just give them animal, you know, cow chow, Purina. Goodness. I could go on, but I won't. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about, do vitamins offer a cancer risk? Now, a recent report out of the UK Mirror was stating that vitamins offer a 56 increased chance of getting cancer. It's no surprise that the report by Science is not really differentiating between synthetic chemical vitamins and the whole food supplements. However, they mention nutrients that are typically made into synthetic vitamins. Now, just like the 2002 study that was reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association, the research really didn't specify if they were studying whole food or synthetic supplements. That study reported that vitamins don't promote health or prevent heart disease or cancer. However, now a study from the UK says the supplements increase the risk of prostate and breast cancer and promote disease such as heart, kidney, and diabetes. So this recent research was done by Dr. Tim Byers. He's an oncologist. Mm-hmm. Science and smart consumers know that synthetic vitamins are artificial and are more closely represented as a pharmaceutical drug rather than a nutrient source. So pharmaceutical drugs are almost always made from synthetic chemicals, and only 2% contain any organic substances. So these junk supplements are more closely related to prescription drugs. And most consumers will increase their intake of vitamin C to avoid colds and flu in the winter months. They don't know that in 1960, the method to manufacture synthetic vitamin C was developed by China. So the vitamin C that they are buying is a two-step fermentation process made, and it makes a synthetic vitamin C. It's manufactured in China. So vitamins entered the consumer marketplace in the 1930s, but by the 1940s, they were worldwide distributed. So we're going to take a closer look at what is in your vitamins out there. Because a lot of them are impersonators. That's right. The impersonators for vitamins are synthetic versions. I call them wannabe vitamins. So these synthetic versions of nutrients are not naturally occurring chemicals, but are a mirror element what is made in the laboratory, really. So to give birth to a synthetic vitamin, you have to add additives and binding agents, coal tar, and often dyes and sugar and flavorings are added. So the most manufactured synthetic vitamins are your vitamin E, your beta-carotene, your vitamin C, and folic acid. Studies show that the human body has difficulty digesting, absorbing, and utilizing the synthetic chemicals. It is really no mystery why this happens, because the body does not have the entire structure of the nutrition and just a fraction of an isolated chemical. Therefore, the synthetic vitamins will offer little to no nutritional potency because the body can't absorb it or will deplete itself of nutritional stores trying to add what is missing in the synthetic version. Let's talk about your whole food sources, because when you compare the synthetic to whole food vitamins, you see a significant difference because foods contain food chains of nutrients that are often used together and are referred to as protein bonded and are not isolated. So the whole food versions of supplements are known by nutrition experts and herbalists to offer more biodiversity, are more readily absorbed and easier for the body to utilize compared to the synthetic version. So the real potency of use will be in the whole food version. And according to livestrong.com, they caution consumers to remember that the word natural does not mean that the item is all natural and can contain additives and synthetic ingredients. The words natural or organic are not regulated, and they're the most abused words in marketing. So if you look at vitamin C, for instance, it is a complex molecule found in natural foods, but in the lab, it's an isolated synthetic ascorbic acid, and it's often extracted from corn starch, corn sugar, or rice starch. And most likely a majority of the vitamin C on the market is therefore maybe from the GMO corn sources. Now, there are six categories that are discussed according to precisionnutrition.com. They define six categories of nutrients that are used in manufacturing vitamin supplements. However, it still boils down to either all natural whole food supplements or synthetic versions, right? I personally don't care if there's 25%, 50%, or even 100% synthetic, because I demand, 100% whole food organic supplements for myself. That's what it is, 100%, okay? End of story, all organic or nothing at all. So basically, there's two categories. There's natural sources made from whole foods, like your vegetables, herbs, fruits. Then there's synthetics, which nature created in the lab, right? Yeah, as best as humanly possible, they try to recreate the molecule structure of an isolated nutrient. And this is a cheaper process than cultivating and using a natural source. So the main materials used to create your synthetic supplements are going to be coal tar, petroleum, your fossil fuels, and acetylene gas. So these chemicals are manipulated to try to duplicate structures of isolated nutrient chemicals. So the industry does not make formulations available to the public. However, after the basic ingredient is selected, it is heated, it's cooked, it's fermented, it's processed into a final synthetic stage. Nutraceuticals are really synthetic versions of botanical chemicals. That's what that is. So nutrients are degraded by heat, light, oxygen, and pH changes. So if your supplement label states that it's a USP vitamin, which stands for US Pharmacopoeia, well, it's a mix of petrochemicals and a very small amount of food in there, okay? Well, let's check out the common scenario for just a minute. The most likely scenario on these studies reporting increased risk of various diseases is that people are using synthetic supplements, which are drugs, and are also using some form of over-the-counter or prescription drug that magnifies the toxicity within the body. So I have yet to see a whole food of any kind increase the risk of disease, but instead reverses the course of a disease. I suspect this is why real nutrition is under attack by medical science. So people who eat more fruits and vegetables are less likely to develop serious diseases. So the message we should come away with here is that synthetic supplements are not whole foods and can increase your risk of disease. And if 18 million in the United Kingdom and 78% of Americans would get their nutrition from whole foods in their diet, and if necessary, seek whole food supplements, well, then there would be less disease. End of story. Simple. So consumers should know that even if your supplement is advertised as natural, it may not contain what you think it contains. It could be 0 to 10% natural nutrition in there. That's about it. You got to check. Really check hard. Well, let's look at some of the common vitamins you might want to avoid, okay? Consumers have over 90% probability of following supplements and finding supplements that are entirely synthetic, okay? So vitamin A, for instance, is made from acetate and palmitate, which are ingredients that are used in plastics from acid of palm or corn oil. It's the same stuff they use to make the plastic eyeglass frames that you wear on your face. Gross. Vitamin B and B1 and 3, thiamine, monitrate, hydrochloride, it's coal tar and acetylene ammonia is what that is. Now, vitamin B2, the riboflavin, is really made from synthetic N2 acetate acid. All right, and vitamin B5 and B6, it's from petroleum. It's isobutylithionide and formaldehyde together. Yuck. Vitamin B9 or your beta carotene, both made from petroleum esters. Vitamin B12 is made from colibanus and cyanide. Nice. Pantothenic acid, calcium dipanthalate. It was discovered in 1938. It's often taken from human waste material. Sorry if you're eating. Vitamin B6 is a hydrochloride. Vitamin B12 is isolated from liver. It's been done that way since 1948. It's gross. Also, PABA, P-A-B-A, para-amylobenzic acid, coal tar, which is oxidized with ammonia, is what that is. Your folic acid is really a petroglutamic acid. And your choline is really an ethylene with ammonia. Your biotin, your vitamin H, is really a bacteria from human intestines or waste material. Yeah, the human intestines, you know, make a lot of bacteria that are used in the supplement industry, usually in your vitamin B area. Vitamin C, of course, a hydrogenated sugar processed with acetone, which is really a nail polish remover. Now, your vitamin D, it's irradiated ergosterol. What it is irradiated animal fat. Usually they use cattle brains to do that. Your vitamin E, of course, you know what that is. It's really refined oils. And vitamin K, coal tar, that is processed with palatalic nickel. Okay? Now, if you're really wanting some vitamin B1, B2, B3, B4, B6, B12, vitamin D, and PABA, you can get that from nutritional yeast that doesn't give you candida or rice bran. If you want some vitamin B9, also, you can get that from broccoli and rice bran. Vitamin C, you can get from cherries and various citrus fruits or even rose hips. Vitamin E, also get from rice and healthy vegetable oils, and your vitamin K from cabbage. Cabbage, good for the digestion, by the way. If you've got digestive issues, you need cabbage. If it's really bad, just drink the cabbage, the juice, what the cabbage was cooked in. Okay, so they know. Scientists, researchers, chemists, physicians, pharmaceutical companies, and other health experts all know that synthetic versions of nutrients are not healthy for us. Dr. Royal Lee and Dr. Bernard Jensen reported that the simple chemical synthetic vitamin was far from mirroring the complex version in nature. They reported that the pure nutrient found in your foods was a minimum of 3 times more potent than the synthetic stuff. Here's a quote from Dr. Royal Lee. He says, the FDA suspends laws for the synthetic imitations of nutrients and in a perverted effort prosecutes the makers and sellers of real food products, real whole food products. So it's because the commercial promoters of cheap imitation supplements and toxic drugs products spend enough money to stop the leaking of truth, end of quote. Thank you, Dr. Lee. I totally agree with that. So you know now. If you didn't know, you do now. There is sufficient research out there that you could go check, and it will reveal that most of the vitamin supplements sold in the market, 97% of them, are synthetically processed petroleum or hydrogenated sugar extracts. Diabetics should know this and use caution. So these products really don't hold a candle to your real food nutrients as far as structural form, vitamin, mineral, amino acid, enzymes, and protein content. So your petrochemical supplements are actually non-food analogs or drugs and are not natural for the body. So the next time science tries to blur the line of what are real food supplements and what is scientific garbage, just remember that real organic whole food ingredients don't cause a disease risk. They actually prevent it. So if you're looking for whole food certified organic supplements that are made without heat to preserve the potency, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and get a free product catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., it's 704-885-0277. We just got calls from the U.K. recently. They're all excited about us over there. 704-885-0277, or you go to the website, thepowerherbs.com. You get there, type in herbtalklive.com too, but thepowerherbs.com, that's home to the organic process and a difference you can feel, definitely. So ask them about their powdered vitamin supplement that's made from organic plants. It covers your vitamin, your mineral, amino acid, protein needs. It's all organic, whole food, and it's called Body Foundation Food Mix. It's a powder. You just throw it in juice or water. It's water-soluble. It's easy to digest. It's right in the system in 60 seconds. There's nothing really for the body having to break down like a solid pill. And I know there's lots of people that just don't like to swallow pills. So this is easy. And this is organic. And this is going to deliver a whole bunch of nutrition really quickly to every cell. So that's easy enough to do, right? Also, Wednesday, don't forget, Wednesday is their last day to save 20% on orders of $80 or more with their eDay 15 coupon, which is on the homepage. You just cut and paste that into the cart or mention it when you call in your order. E is an Edward Day, the number 15 will save you 20%, and that ends tomorrow. So tomorrow is last day, so don't forget that. Oh, and if you're on the website, don't forget you can sign up for their free online health newsletters and get educated, get savvy. And, of course, you know, it's free and you can – it's empowering stuff. There's the American Survival newsletter that goes out on Tuesdays, and then there's the Health Quest that goes out on Fridays. And you will be empowered by both of those editions, and they're totally free. So get to thepowerherbs.com. And if you have email, sign up to receive those because they go out only through email. So there's nothing that's snail mailed, sorry. And get empowered. Share it with friends and family. Spread the word, you know. That's what it's about, empowerment. That's what it's about. All right. I know, coming up to a break, but, you know, we're going to be talking about the liver and how we can protect it. If you got a fatty liver, don't despair. We got tools and education for you on the other side. We'll be right back.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Bust it.
here on Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're going to be talking about liver issues. If you have or know somebody that has liver issues, I know this is a scary thing. And I guess, you know, over 20 years ago, before I knew what I know now, I'd probably be scared too. Largest organ of the body is really, one of them is the liver. A lot of responsibility, this organ. It has to change food into energy. At the same time, it's got to help neutralize waste materials and toxins. It's got to deal with alcohol you may have ingested and other poisons like your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter products. You know, it's also got to help the pancreas regulate blood sugars and help with the endocrine system manage hormones in the blood. So it's got a lot to do. It's busy. Okay, it's one of them busy organs. So actually, your digestion really doesn't stand a chance of having any normal function without the liver helping out. It helps the gallbladder with the necessary bile to help you break down fats and also absorb protein and convert them to amino acids. So modern medicine needs a good liver aid, but they don't have one. They really don't. All they can do is minimize symptoms. They really don't have anything that will help your current liver heal itself, regenerate itself, and be well. You know, they're into disease management or just organ replacement. That's their options because it makes them a lot of money. All right, let's talk about if you have a liver that may be at risk. There are many health risks that affect the liver, you know, viruses, hepatitis. Drugs, of course, alcohol, poisons, even cancer. So liver disease can, you know, scar the liver tissue, causing cirrhosis of the liver, in which at least 80% of the cases are preventable. So a sure sign that the liver is sick is you may get a yellowing of the skin, also known as jaundice. Nearly 10 out of 100,000 people die from chronic liver disease, and it isn't necessary. More than 2 million Americans have alcohol-related liver disease, and that works out to about 30,000 deaths a year from that disease. Now, there are 3.5 million who suffer from hepatitis C, causing about 12,000 deaths every year. Hepatitis B affects 46,000 and increases the risk of liver cancer by 100% and also causes about 5,000 deaths every year. So a very disturbing statistic is that liver transplants are on the rise for children. Talk about a shocker. So if you contract hepatitis, and what's the first thing they inject newborns with? Come on, you know what it is. First injection in that baby. Oh, yeah. Hepatitis vaccine. So is it a surprise kids need liver transplants then? Not to me. So if you contract hepatitis, your allopathic physician can only advise you to rest and refrain from anything that could, you know, further damage your liver, such as, you know, drinking alcohol or taking drugs, prescription or recreational. So if you have cirrhosis of the liver, the most your doctor can do is offer relief from complications. And if you eat something poisonous, such as, you know, a poisonous mushroom, all your doctor can do is wait until the fatal consequences run its course, but modern medicine to the old mushroom. Is it really a coincidence that there is like 500,000 gallbladders removed each year? Or is it because our sick livers are not able to detoxify our system due to liver disease, mostly due maybe to the lifestyle? Well, is there anything we can do herb-wise? I get that question a lot. Well, Miss Wendy, what you got in your herb bag? Well, in the 17th century, a British herbalist, Nicholas Culpepper, he was known to use milk thistle herb for jaundice and liver disease problems. In the first century, Roman physician Pipney, he published writings about how amazing milk thistle was in helping the body carry off bile, aiding both the liver and the gallbladder in their functions. So homeopaths have used small amounts of milk thistle for liver disorders, gallstones, and even varicose veins. Milk thistle. number one herb for the liver, by the way. That's what I would use. Silymarin, antioxidant that typically helps the liver regenerate sick and dying cells. So there you go. Let's look at some of the studies. German researchers were able to identify three liver protective compounds that were in milk thistle in 1968. Altogether, the compounds are known as silymarin. And how do the compounds in milk thistle work? Well, they tend to bind to the receptors on the liver cell membrane and block any toxins from entering. So it's like, you know, a bodyguard. It's a liver bodyguard. I kind of like that. You know, Kevin Costner in the movie The Bodyguard, think of like a billion of those guys just, you know, protecting your liver cells. Sorry, Whitney. It's about the liver, not you today. But so you've got. You've got the herbal bodyguard, basically, when you have the milk thistle. So you also may recognize a function, the name antioxidant. The silymarin goes the extra mile of helping the liver repair itself while stimulating your immune system. So scientists are finding out that milk thistle can be used for even the worst liver disease safely and effectively. So the Germany Commission evaluated herbs for liver function and approved of milk thistle extract for all liver conditions. And under their studies for hepatitis, several European researchers found that patients who were using milk thistle recovered quickly. Now, one Italian study of 20 hepatitis patients, some were given milk thistle, some a placebo, they found that the patients that took the milk thistle regained normal liver function. Now, Europeans found that those who accidentally ate poisonous mushrooms had a 95% survival rate if they had the milk thistle. Ta-da! So the silymarin in the milk thistle is a bodyguard for the liver and protects it. It's able to block the poison from entering the liver and killing the organ and preventing death. So one Scandinavian study involved 97 alcoholics with liver damage, but not yet at the cirrhosis stage. So half were given milk thistle to take over a four-week period. The other half were given placebos. So those that were taking the milk thistle showed significant improvement in their liver enzymes, indicating the liver was healing itself. Yeah, so if you ever are on a toxic drug and a doctor has to take a liver profile blood work from you periodically to see, because the drug is known to cause damage to the liver. So they're checking your liver enzymes when they do your blood work. So milk thistle, you know, because if you're taking that drug and your liver enzymes start to kind of go wacko, it's already showing damage to the liver is what that means. So they take you off the drug. And if they do that, run to the milk thistle is what I would do if I was you. All right, let's look at some drug-induced studies, because if you consume alcohol, it isn't the only drug that can really damage the liver. If you take a large or long-term doses of over-the-counter acetaminophen or prescription medications, they can damage the liver. In an animal study, milk thistle was given to protect the livers of rats when they were given large doses of acetaminophen. So the milk thistle prevented liver damage in the rats. In another study, milk thistle prevented liver damage from antibiotics and antidepressants and antipsychotic drugs. Milk thistle, that's the bomb, that's what I say. All right, what about industrial chemicals? You know, research has documented that silymarin, the antioxidant in the milk thistle, minimizes the damage to the liver that's associated with long-term exposure to industrial chemicals. Know anybody that works in a chemical plant? Buy them some milk thistle as a gift. Workers who suffered liver damage working around chemical toluene and xylene took 2 to 4 teaspoons of milk thistle extract 3 times a day for a month and produced substantial reductions in their elevated liver enzymes. Wow, amazing. You know, medicine is just so jealous of that milk thistle. It wants to make an isolated version of it and patent it. God already delivered it to you. Here's some other research. Milk thistle is still under the microscope in mainstream medicine. They are looking into how milk thistle lowers cholesterol and reduces the risk of diabetes. So for some, milk thistle in large doses actually can upset the stomach. So pregnant nursing mothers should not use milk thistle. Mm-hmm. Here's some other facts. Milk thistle is really high in some nutrition like chromium, healthy fats, iron, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, selenium, tin, and zinc. Studies have shown that people who suffer from liver disease, or especially those who are, you know, maybe suffering from alcoholism, are going to be low in their vitamin D. You can get vitamin D by, you know, getting some healthy exposure to sunlight and maybe eating some fish. But vitamin D helps your liver to properly convert and store various phosphorus compounds for proper liver function. This particular function helps the liver manage glucose. So when the liver has excessive glycogen or lipid levels, which increase, they can clog the liver. And your vitamin D is also responsible for regulating your cellular integrity in your body. So foods that are high in vitamin D are cod liver oil. You might want to take a tablespoon of that per day. You can eat some herring or mackerel, about 3 ounces, sardines, tuna. They say a cup of milk, some eggs, large eggs, also going to be very beneficial there. Help the liver out, help the diabetes out. Foods are your medicines, folks. All right, liver, the organs that are designed to regenerate especially are going to be the liver. And when you remove organs like your gallbladder, it puts more of an extra burden on your other organs that are designed to filter toxins together. So your liver and your gallbladder work in tandem. So while you're sleeping at night, those two organs tend to have bowel movements, if you will, and they purge their toxins through the duodenum to go into the bowel. So the next morning when you get up and you have your bowel movement, all those toxins are flushed out, hopefully. And if everything's flowing, free-flowing of toxins, if you don't have a backlog of toxins, that's what happens. So basically you can cleanse your liver and your gallbladder together if you want to. But I would tend to avoid a gallbladder disease. Some people who have ill gallbladders, they tend to have digestion issues. And then it progresses to, you know, pain under the right rib when they eat a meal. And then it progresses further to pain regardless of a meal. And then they get shooting pains over their shoulder and into their back. And before you know it, they're vomiting and rush to the hospital and their gallbladder's removed. Okay? That's not necessary. I mean, there's a way to deal with these things. Just don't let it get to that level. Right? Because you're going to be in serious discomfort. And you'll say, just rip it out. But then you put a burden on the liver when you don't have your gallbladder, see. And then you can't eat certain foods, and then you're going to be really unhappy. So what I like to use for gallbladders is barberry bark. Now, there's certain ways to clean these two organs. You can do, if you think you have gallstones, there's a thing we do called the liver gallbladder flush. If you don't have gallstones, if your gallbladder's fairly normal, doing fine, then you could just do a gentle cleanse. It's a step-down cleanse using a barberry and milk thistle combo tincture along with the liver detox tea. So kind of cinnamony. It's really neat. I drink that stuff just because it tastes good. One of the things I can say that I make that tastes good, a lot of herbs are bitter, and people just don't like the taste. But, you know, Confucius says good medicine always tastes bitter. It has an action in the body. It's, you know, pretty powerful. So herbs are meat. They have power. They have protein. They have bitters that move fluids in the system, kind of disrupt blockages and open up pathways and restore function like it should. That's why herbs are bitter. And you're only supposed to use a little bit. If they were sweet, like a strawberry, you'd eat too much. See, God knew what he was doing. All right. So if you're interested in learning how to do organ cleansing and, you know, cleansing the liver, gallbladder, the bowel, and so forth. Well, we've got instructions for you on how to do that safely and successfully. And you want to cleanse in the opposite way of how the body filters toxins so you don't have a backlog of residues of toxins coming out. And then you can get sick, see, if you do that, if you get a reabsorption of these toxins. So we want to do it right. And there's a section on the powerherbs.com website called Healthy Guidelines, and you can click on different things like How do you do organ cleansing? How do you store my herbs? How do I start with immune boosting? What herbs do I need for that? So they're quick little sound bites and synopsises of that information. So it's not pages and gobs of stuff you have to read, but it's just, you know, bam, just give it to me in the sound bite kind of thing. And you go there and learn a whole lot. But if you want a product catalog, the catalog is set up under organ cleansing, where it lists the cleanses in order and how you should do them. Okay, so it's you know, the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s on how you can successfully learn how to cleanse your system, relieve the toxic burden, so the body can rejuvenate and heal itself. This is a natural thing. This is something it's been done for thousands of years and has worked. And it's really the biggest step in prevention, if you ask me. I mean, when I saw immune-boosting herbs and organ-cleansing herbs, when I was a newbie to the herb thing, I was just like, because I used to work in medicine. I used to work for anesthesiologists. I used to work in intensive care at the hospital. I used to work for neurosurgeons and neurologists and physical therapists. I worked for several types of different medical practices over the years, and I was just amazed when I saw herbs in action. I was just like, say what? I was into quick and fast and just blow you away. It's like, you know, my head spun around like Linda Blair. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is like the world's best kept secret. And I had to know more. So that's what I did. I went to learn more. And you couldn't stop me, you know. I had to learn more. So I went to herb school, and that's, you know, all she wrote there. And here I am talking with you today. So I want to say it's not rocket science. It's not that complicated. It's just that it starts in your head and what you want to do for yourself. You know, you can empower yourself. It's just that you have to do certain things, and you're not going to have changes unless you make changes, okay? So I tell people all the time, yeah, you can cleanse, but don't recongest the system with a lifestyle that may have made you sick before. So it's real important that, you know, there's a lot of people that want to get off these lifelong drugs. They don't want to use antibiotics. And there's certain things that you can do to avoid that. For instance, I had, I know I'm kind of getting off the track here. I may not get to my digestive topic. I'm sorry. But I had this, annual thing where I would have either an ear infection or some sort of throat infection, strep throat, or tonsillitis. Tonsillitis was huge. I would get it a lot. I thought I got it a lot. And I got it so much I thought, I'm getting rid of these tonsils, right? Went to the throat doctor, and he said, no, it's not chronic enough. You'd have to have 4 cases a year for me to take these out. So 2 cases a year of tonsillitis is not cutting it. So I was just like, what? And then I learned later, good thing I didn't get them out, because your tonsils are an immune system gland that produces an antibody for polio. Okay? Important. So if you think about it, if you think back to the 30s and 40s when they started taking out tonsils because they thought they weren't important, what'd they have? A polio epidemic. Mm-hmm. And like your appendix is the immune system gland for your bowel. Yeah. So it releases antibodies for things like E. coli and salmonella, right? And food poisoning, right? Yeah. Okay, so when I found out, you know, I was eating certain things that my body didn't like, I was kind of allergic to my diet. I made some changes, and one of the things I was allergic to was dairy products. And it really slowed down my bowel and everything. So I got off that, and all of a sudden, guess what? I didn't have the upper respiratory problems. I didn't have sinus problems or drippy nose or allergy issues. I used to have, you know, hay fever like everybody else in the spring. And all of a sudden, I didn't have that anymore. So the milk proteins, my body said, oh, we don't like this. And it just kicked up the immune system response and made it hypersensitive. But at the same time, it bogged down the system with a bunch of mucus, made it difficult for the body to release toxins, and there was a buildup of toxins, and then I got sick in my weakest link, which is, you know, my throat, my ears, my nose area. So this is what I started to learn. I paid attention to what my body was telling me, okay? And you can, too. Keep a food journal for 2 weeks just to see what's going on, and you can see where your sensitivities are. And you just eliminate those foods. You're not going to miss them. You know, you're just not. You'll find substitutes. I did. So glad I did. So there are ways around what people think, you know, is impossible. It's not. It's a lot of it's common sense. A lot of it's, you know, I have to be active and proactive and do things differently. And you're not going to have changes unless you make changes. So I talk to a lot of people, and of course I don't give medical advice. I just tell them my experiences and what I would do if I was them, and they could go investigate it themselves. And a lot of people, I can tell pretty quickly, you know, these people are just not going to do it. They just want to pop a pill, something simple and easy. They don't have to change anything. They're kind of set in their ways. They don't see the big picture. So what do you do with that? You say a prayer and on you go. So I hope you out there listening that your power lies with you, and God's given you tools that are very powerful. They're full of nutrition. They're powerhouses of nutrition that the body can tap into to correct imbalances and to regenerate and heal itself. And I know it's a learning curve to learn how to use some of those natural tools other than a diet, but that's what we're here for. So if you're interested in getting your feet wet, I wrote a book called The Power Herbs Book. It's 13 herbs every medicine cabinet should have. And went through two printings, but now it's not in print, but we do have it in an ebook, which we email to you. It's on the powerherbs.com website. It's a 400-page book, and it's just $14.99. So you can learn how to do your cleanses. You can learn how to make your own herbal tinctures. You can learn what herbs you should avoid if you're expecting a baby or you're nursing. You can learn all kinds of things. And there's an herb symptom reference guide in there. And this is your general guidelines. This is to get you going. This is not the end of everything. This is just the beginning. So you're going to build on that knowledge as you go through and improve and get smart and savvy and strong. Strong, powerful, healthier. Your immune system will build, become strong. Your whole constitution will change. And you'll feel better. You'll have more energy. You'll be able to deal with stress better. You won't have those moods dipping all the time. I remember when I was, you know, menopausal or having PMS, I couldn't even tie a shoe. But then I used herbs, and it was okay. It's just a natural process. The body just needed a little endocrine balancing, and the herbs feed the endocrine system, and then the endocrine system makes the hormones that are right for you. So it's not hormone replacement. It doesn't give you a cancer risk. It's plant nutrition. And that's what we teach you. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.